Good morning, everyone. I'm Ken Smeals reporting. Riverview Local School District is planning for a loss in revenue following last week's announcement that the AEP power plant in Conesville will be shutting down. It could be as much as another $1 million overall, but officials say the exact amount of loss can only be estimated at this time.
What we know for a fact right now is that since the 2015-16 school year, we've lost approximately $1.2 million in revenue as a result of the devaluation. The potential closing, for all intents and purposes, and after talking to the county auditor, we're predicting that's another $1 million in revenue. So an overall $2.2 million once the whole process is complete.
Superintendent Dalton Summers says several factors play into the loss.
What we have to do, though, before we target exactly what we're going to do, we need to find out, what does that turn out to be in the end? We're also in a budget year, a new governor, potentially a new school funding program. We don't know yet. So we're kind of at the mercy of, as far as the overall effect, waiting and seeing things how things play out over the next few months. But we do have to immediately start to address the 1.2 we've already lost. You know, every meeting we're going to have from now for the next few months is going to be to address how do we put the money back in to continue to do the things we've been doing.
Summer says Riverview plans to maintain a policy of transparency regarding the financial implications that accompany the closure, and no programs are planned to be cut at this time.
I don't think we're going to reduce what we are currently offering students until we've given the community the opportunity to keep those things.
Summer says all possible solutions are being investigated, and his door is open for anyone who has questions or suggestions.
We're going to look for everything from how many buildings are we operating. We're going to be looking at things like where potential inefficiencies may or may not be, although we've been pretty efficient for years, which is why we've been able to not go to the voters ask the voters for more operating money since 1992, really. So we're getting our efficiencies down, but we're going to look at every possible option we can.
Current state aid for Riverview comes in at about 37%, as the property valuations within the district classify it as a high wealth capacity school system. The sheriff's office reports two accidents and six complaints investigated yesterday. Christopher Shoemaker of Coshocton struck a mailbox while rounding a curve on State Route 83 North. Robert Haver of Tippecanoe was backing up when he struck an unoccupied parked vehicle. Trent Williams of Coshocton was arrested and cited for operating a vehicle impaired and failure to obey a traffic control device. Deanna Smith of Coshocton reported a domestic incident. Upon investigation, Andrew Smith was arrested and charged with domestic assault and criminal damaging. Kimberly Wagner of Coshocton reported unauthorized use of a credit card. Robin Helms of Coshocton reported vandalism to her property. Judd Walker reported theft of items from his residence. Grace Wiggins of Coshocton reported several rings missing. From the West Lafayette Police, a resident on her block of West 6th Street reported being harassed. A citizens group says it has gathered more than 1,900 signatures on a petition opposing an application by Buckeye Brine to reclassify two waste injection wells near Coshocton. That comes as the Ohio EPA plans a public hearing on Thursday. About 30 members and supporters of Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness gathered outside the Coshocton County Progress Center on Monday to express their opinion. Then they approached the county commissioners, concerned that the board was not doing enough to represent their voice.
We're asking you for some leadership. I think it's part of the fabric of our community that puts you in that role. The permitting process absolutely requires serious consideration of public comment. This isn't window dressing. And you shouldn't feel that way about your comments, that they're merely window dressing. They're also a lot of leadership there.
The commissioners in July forwarded concerns that they had heard to the Ohio EPA, but the commissioners stopped short of taking an official position on the application, saying that elected officials at the county and township levels have no legislative authority or jurisdiction over injection facilities. They encourage citizens to contact state legislators. On Monday, Commissioner Gary Fisher said he was willing to enter the letter as part of the official public comment period that is underway.
If it came across that we were doing nothing, that was not the case. We were doing something. We were asking the question. We were representing the people. We were asking the questions that you were asking of us. We were relaying that information. We were on this in June. Now, am I concerned about it? Sure I am. I have 9 grandkids. Why wouldn't I be concerned? I got a 10th one on the way. Am I concerned about the other wells that are in this county that's not getting the attention that this one is? I am. Am I concerned about the ones in Tuscarawas County that's not getting the attention that this one is? Sure I am. You know, those are all issues I think we need to be concerned about. And it seems like the focus is on one right now. Maybe that's because it's in our backyard.
Based upon information from an environmental law attorney who was a former assistant attorney general and deputy director of the Ohio EPA, members of CECA are also asking the commissioners to appeal the Ohio EPA's finding. He's advised the group that if a memorandum of intent to appeal is filed before a permit is issued, the well operations could be halted until the outcome of the appeal is decided. If an appeal is filed within 30 days after a permit is granted, the well operations would not be delayed while the appeal is pending. Dane Shryock, president of the Board of Commissioners, says that information was new to the board and would have to be reviewed. Thanks for joining me. I'm Ken Smales, reporting.
It is 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. Good morning to you. It is time for the Communication Lines program, and I am Mike Bechtel here with you, and we might have just a little sliver of open phone lines toward the end of our first hour today, but we have a guest to speak with all morning, and here to kick off our program today, Brian Krylo, and he is here from Coshocton Cares, talking about an event that is coming up tonight, as a matter of fact. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Mike.
It's the annual college fair. And that's going to be tonight from 6 to 7:30 at the Career Center, correct?
That's correct, Mike.
Tell us a little bit about the college fair.
Well, let me start out by giving some thanks, especially to the Kiwanis Club. They sponsor this event. They've done that for the past 5 years. Without their assistance, it would be virtually impossible to be able to put on this event. So I want to make sure that those out there listening who are members of the Kiwanis Club, a great big thank you. Also, I want to thank WTNS. Anytime that we have community service announcements, they're more than willing to help us out and promote the events that we are sponsoring. And to Mike this morning for having me on the talk show. One more thank you to my two advisors, Nancy Hatem and Lynn Hill. Without those two girls, this event probably wouldn't be possible because it's an awful lot of work. A little bit about the event. It is tonight. Doors open to students and parents at 6 o'clock and last till 7:30. You don't have to stay the entire time. You can pop in, visit some of the schools that you maybe have an interest in, and then if you want to stay longer, that's fine, but it's from 6 to 7:30 at the Career Center with doors opening at 6 o'clock. We've got 65 different schools attending tonight. That includes colleges, universities, technical schools, trade schools, and military recruiters. Gives you the opportunity to gather information and ask questions, and they're coming to you rather than you having to go to them, saving yourself a little bit of mileage in the process. Admission to this event is free. I also want to mention our partner, the United Way, because they too play a very important role in keeping our program going.
What is the Kiwanis Club's involvement in the partnership?
They are financial supporters. Mm-hmm. There are expenses obviously involved with putting on an event like this, and their financial donation over the past 5 or 6 years has enabled us to continue it, Mike, because our funds are usually not a great amount, so we have to make do with what we have, and their financial donation is a great, great, great help.
with representatives of 65 schools there. Where do you put everybody?
Well, we located them in the restaurant area or in the cafeteria area and also in the commons area. We have enough tables so that every school has a table. With the four-year schools and universities, we try to arrange them alphabetically. And the parents will receive a sheet where the schools are listed, so they kind of have an idea of where to find a particular school if they don't want to have to look through or wait in line to see one. It's always very important, too, that any adult who is perhaps seeking a different career and needs some type of certification or diploma or wants to go back to a 2 or a 4 year school, you are more than welcome to attend this event. It's not just for students and parents. It's for anyone who may find this to be helpful in any way.
Again, 65 schools, their representatives will be there. And I don't know if you want to read the whole list or not, Brian, but how would you characterize that group?
Well, obviously you have your four-year schools, both public and private. Almost all of the state schools and private schools are represented. We also have a number of different technical schools. A different program tonight from Job and Family Services, we have Apprentice Ohio Service. And what they focus on is apprenticeships for students who are interested in going that route once they graduate from high school. So they will be in attendance. Some of the others that we have automotive schools, we have welding schools, we have your adult education centers, both Mideast and Buckeye, and they have adult education programs where you can get certifications usually in less than a year at a very minimal cost, thus not having to maybe borrow a great deal of money in order to get the certificate that you may need. We have the Pittsburgh Institute of Aeronautics. We've had several students who have gone there in the past to become either airport or airplane mechanics or work on the electronic aspect of an airplane. Some others, just so numerous that it would take a great deal of time to read down through that list. But we've got schools from West Virginia, Ohio, obviously, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, schools from all over. So it gives the student and parent a good opportunity to kind of look around and see what's available and collect information. And then if it's of further interest, maybe schedule an appointment where they can go and see what the campus looks like, Mike.
Okay. And as you mentioned, most of the four-year schools that are around our area will be represented. A lot of specialized schools as well. You mentioned the Pittsburgh Institute of Aeronautics. There's cosmetology. There is welding. So come on out and check it out. And Brian, do you get feedback? Has anybody ever come to you and said, you know what, the college fair was instrumental in my decision of where I went to school?
Oh, yes, we do, Mike, especially from the students who attend. And in some cases, it was instrumental in helping them to make their decision, or at least seeing the school and getting the information so that they could then go from there to see whether or not that was a good fit for them. So, yes, they're frequent.
It is from 6 to 7:30 this evening, and that is at the Coshocton County Career Center. It's the Coshocton Cares College Fair Night, and you're invited. A couple other things we want to talk about today, Brian, but what else would you like to share with us about the college fair?
I don't know if I have much more to say about the college fair. Again, I just encourage everyone to come because the admission is free and all the schools are there, so it makes it, again, very convenient for the parent and the student to collect the information and see if there's a school maybe that meets their needs.
Brian, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the other activities and events that Coshocton Cares has been involved in recently?
We sponsored a financial aid night that was held in September, and I want to mention that the FAFSA is now online. Students can complete that. It came online as of October the 1st, and I would suggest you complete the FAFSA as early as possible. We will be sponsoring a FAFSA night for any parent who may need assistance in completing that application. It is an online application. Students have received information on that, and they'll be receiving information on the night that we sponsor. And that's scheduled for November 12th at Coshocton High School on the third floor in the computer labs from 6 to 7:30. I also, Mike, want to mention a couple of events that the Chamber of Commerce sponsored in the past 2 weeks. They sponsored a First Responders Day. That was this past Friday. And it was for students who were interested in some type of medical career or law enforcement or perhaps firefighting. And that was a super day for kids to see all kinds of different things, many toward the hospital, the fire station. The EMT squads were there talking about EMTs and paramedics. Some of the schools that offer those programs were there as well. They also offered a manufacturing day the week before, and that was great as well, where students from around the county were able to tour different industries. There were five, AK Steel, Wayne Ductile, Organic Technologies, Jones Metal, and I'm missing one. Which one am I missing? It'll come to me in a second. But that was a super day, too, because the manufacturers had an opportunity to show the students what exactly they did and how that fit into our economy, and also the types of jobs that are available, and they are numerous, according to the those people. Did I mention AK Steel? Maybe that was the one I was missing.
I think that was the one.
Okay. Oh, Annan Flag.
Okay.
That was the one I was missing, Annan Flag. So a great big thank you to the Chamber for putting that together. And, boy, that really ties in with what Coshocton Cares is trying to do, just providing the students with choices, you know, and having them or give them the opportunity to look around and see what might be their best fit.
Okay. So a lot of things going on in conjunction with Coshocton Cares. Anything else you'd like to share with us today, Brian?
I don't think so, Mike. Again, a great big thank you for allowing me to share the information with the people listening.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us. That is Brian Krylow from Coshocton Cares. It's the 2018 Coshocton Kiwanis Club Coshocton Cares College Fair Night. It is tonight from 6 to 7:30 at the Coshocton County Career Center. Over 60 colleges, universities, technical schools, trade schools, military recruiters will be there to answer your questions and provide you with information. It is 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Do you know of someone in need of a lift chair, or do you need one yourself? Wilson Carpet and Furniture has lift chairs by Best Home Furnishings, made in Ferdinand, Indiana. We have lift chairs with massage and heat, big man lift chairs, and a lift chair called the body rest that lays back extra far for sleeping. You can find the style that suits you and recline and lift with comfort and durability. Wilson Carpet and Furniture, 230 Main Street, Coshocton.
Hi, this is Belinda Lacey, realtor with Old Town Realty. My experience has proven good communication is a key element when buying or selling a home. Bankers, buyers, sellers, agents, title companies, inspectors, appraisers, and more all have an important part to play in any real estate transaction. If you're looking for a professional with excellent communication and coordination skills, give me a call. 740-294-8869. Remember, the Lacey team is here for you.
At Century National Bank, we care about your time, money, and peace of mind. That's why we're happy to introduce our new Priority Series of Accounts. Four choices. One is perfect for you. Not because we say so, but because we listen to what you said is important to you. Visit us at Century National Bank to get an account perfectly matched to your priorities. Ask about ATM fee refunds, free checks, and other new discounts and protections. After all, when it comes to how you use your money, your priority is the one that matters. Division of the Park National Bank, member FDIC. CenturyNationalBank.com.
Papa John's Pizza is now accepting applications for delivery drivers. In-store employees make $9 per hour, while drivers make competitive wages along with mileage. Apply online at www.pleaseapplyonline.com/PJZ.
Are you in the market for some new floor covering? Well, Fisher Decorating Center has just what you need with prices you can afford. Hi, it's Kenzie again, and no, my dad has not changed the name to Kenzie's Carpets yet, but he has got some great deals on new carpet, vinyl, and laminate flooring. Not to mention his huge selection of remnants that are always priced to move. So stop in today. That's Fisher Decorating Center, helping you make your house a home since 1946.
Mostly sunny skies today, highs in the lower 50s. For tonight, mainly clear, lows in the upper 30s. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming a partly sunny, cool, with highs in the upper 40s. It is currently 38 degrees in downtown Coshocton.
Call the Advanced Spinal Care and Rehabilitation Sports Service 24 hours a day at 623-9867. We have Coshocton's only certified chiropractic sports physician. Chiropractic helps athletes perform better by removing the interference on the nervous system, improves flexibility, increases blood flow, and decreases the chance of injury. Call Advanced Spinal Care and Rehabilitation for a free consultation at 740-291-8100.
Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness would like to remind our community that the Ohio EPA will hold a public hearing concerning the Buckeye Brine Injection Well permits on Thursday, October 18th at 6 p.m. at the Coshocton High School. Some of the concerns we are faced with are our property values, our air, our water, our family's health now and for future generations. If these issues touch home with you, then Seeker urges you to attend the Ohio EPA's public hearing on the repermitting of these injection wells to show your opposition, enter testimony and comments, and ensure that our voices are heard. For more information, go to SeekerAware.org.
At Best Heating and Air, they just want to make sure their customers stay comfy and cozy this winter. Call them to schedule an annual checkup for your furnace or to take advantage of specials on brand new Lennox home comfort systems, up to $1,600 in rebates or up to 60 months interest-free financing. Get comfortable. Call Best Heating and Air at 740-545-9400 today. It's just another way they make you feel better. License number 30482.
It is 9:22, 38 degrees currently outside our studios here in Coshocton, and we have some guests to speak with here for the remainder of hour number one. It is Jamie Williams and Laura McCloy, and they are here from the Coshocton Senior Center to talk a little bit about the Senior Center services. Now, the Senior Center levy is on the ballot this November here in a couple of weeks. It is a $1 million renewal. It's been on the books since 1999 and an additional quarter mil. And we are here to talk a little bit about the Senior Center and the Senior Center services. And good morning, ladies. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning, Mike.
Well, let's see. Where should we begin?
Well, I think we wanted to highlight, starting off with the Home Delivered Meal Program. A lot of people are familiar with that program, but a lot of times people don't realize just how big that program is. So we currently have 11 routes that cover Coshocton County. We deliver an average of 366 meals per day, and our drivers drive an average of 400 miles a day to deliver those meals. So it's a really big program, and if you're 60 and over and live in Coshocton County, we can get to you. Of course, this is a program for people that are having issues with getting their own meals together, or they don't have family members that are able, or somebody, a support person to provide that for them. So basically, if you think this is a service that might benefit you, people just need to call into the center and talk to our home delivered meal coordinator. There is an assessment that we do, but basically, if they are in need of this service, usually we can help them out. There's no charge for this program as well. That's something that a lot of people don't realize. We do suggest a contribution of $2 a meal, but there's not a charge for this program. And that is because of the funding that we receive. We do receive some state and federal funds, and so that we don't charge for the meals, but there's just a contribution that is suggested.
And about how many would you estimate, maybe you already told me this, but about how many are served by that program?
Well, an average of 360-some every day that go out. But actually, over the past 5 years, we have provided over 390,000 home-delivered meals. Mm-hmm. So it's a very big program.
All right. And is this what is it typically known as Meals on Wheels? Is that the...
A lot of people refer to that because there is some funding that is called that. But our program is called just home-delivered meals.
Okay. But for those that are familiar with that term, that's what we're talking about.
Exactly, yes.
All right, and so that is one of the services that the Senior Center offers. What are are there different age guidelines for different services?
Primarily, all of our services are geared for those that are 60 years of age and older.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just turned 55. I'm starting to get things in the mail now from the AARP, et cetera, so... all right. So, how much, in general, how would you characterize the use that the Senior Center gets?
You know, we can typically see hundreds of people every day because, you know, it's not just, you know, the congregate meals that we serve at the center. There are various activities that go on throughout the day. So, we typically see, you know, several hundred people just in a day's time.
And what's the next service you'd like to tell us about?
Well, Jamie mentioned the home-delivered meals, but we also have congregate meal service for any of the seniors who are able to get out and want to come and socialize with their friends. Again, it's a $2 suggested contribution. There's no actual charge for the meal. We have about 60 to 70 people who come every day, so you're sure to see someone that you know. And if you want to bring someone who's under 60, there is a $4.50 charge for their meal, but you could bring your daughter, your grandkids. We see a lot of people who come with an older child who's maybe started to move towards the retirement path as well. So it's really nice that they get to be with not only friends but family too.
And these are the meals that we share right before the 8:30 news every day. Is that correct?
Okay. It is, yes.
So you're having taco salads tomorrow.
It's our most popular meal. Everybody loves it. I definitely recommend if you want to give it a try that that's the day that you decide to come on down.
Well, reading the menu every day, it looks like it, you eat well and you get a well-balanced diet as well.
Yes.
Okay. And so what else would you like to share with us today?
Well, Jamie kind of just lightly touched on some of the activities we have. We offer exercise classes because fall prevention is so important for our seniors. So we've tried to keep up and kind of go with some of the newer things. We have cardio drumming now and yoga, which are both kind of newer style exercise classes, but we have more traditional ones as well. So we have the Silver Sneaker Flex instructor, and she comes 6 times a week. We have a senior-led exercise class if you want to do something that maybe doesn't have an instructor. And we have line dancing, so tons and tons of different exercise classes for you.
What is Silver Sneaker Flex? What does that mean?
Well, the program itself, there's usually actually a charge for it if you go someplace else. I know there's other facilities that offer it, but we take care of that charge for you. So all of those exercise classes are completely free for you. You just come down and join in whichever class you want. They're always on the calendar. So.
All right. Is Flex, is that stretching? And
It is stretching. One of the things that they try to do is make sure that you're working all your joints. Sometimes you forget about a couple of them, and so they tend to not do well over time. Mm-hmm. So it's important that you stretch all of them. So that's kind of what the class hits on. And it's actually, even if you're just starting out or you haven't exercised in ages and ages, it's a class that you can do sitting down. You can make it harder for yourself by standing up while you do it. It's really for all skill levels. So it's a great starting out class.
And cardio drumming, what is that?
Cardio drumming, it's a lot of fun. So they play wonderful music. And there is a tub that you have a ball that sits in, and you hit that with drumsticks, and you move back and forth from side to side and up and down, and it's a lot of physical motion for your body. Again, if you're not able to do it quite so much, you can sit in a chair while you do it and just kind of flex the top half a bit more. So you can make it for all skill levels as well, but it's a lot of fun. That's why it's becoming so popular. It's great to enjoy the music and really work out kind of a little bit harder. That one's maybe starting to move up the scale a little.
Okay, and I see tomorrow you have mindful meditation at 10:30.
Yes, we have mindful meditation. We have a great instructor for that. It's just a really good way to kind of center yourself and kind of good start for your day. But we also offer yoga if you wanted to start your day out a little bit more with some stretching. Again, it's very peaceful, calming. And in addition to those, we have reflexology, which she's just started back up. And we also have chair massage. So if those workouts kind of get you not feeling so great, we can get you fixed back up again.
So. Okay, so lots of services and a lot of services. And again, you see, upwards of 100 people a day?
60 to 70 for lunch, and then all the people who come for all the different classes that we have for the day.
All right, very good. What are some of the other services you'd like to tell us about?
I also wanted to mention our transportation program. We do have several vehicles that we use to go out and pick seniors up. Again, if you're 60 years of age or older and live in Coshocton County, we can come and get you. So we go out and get you in the morning, bring you in for activities and for lunch, and then after lunch, we will take you home. And then also once a week, we can actually take people to the grocery store. We give them an hour to shop, pick them back up, and then we also help you in with your groceries. So it's just another opportunity for people that might not have a vehicle or might not be able to drive any longer to still get out and enjoy being able to socialize and have a good meal as well.
All right. We are talking today with Jamie Williams and Laura McCloy here from the Coshocton Senior Center. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after these words.
Discover a world of ideas for your home at Kime Lumber and Charm. Their modern retail showroom is a full-scale design and building center with over 125,000 square feet of building products and displays and knowledgeable, friendly staff to help you every step of the way. Their goal is to build relationships, provide outstanding products and services, and ensure their customers always have a great experience working with them. Come visit Kime Lumber in Charm, Ohio, and let them help you with your next project. Find them on the web at KimeLumber.com or Facebook.
There's coffee. Then there's the kind of great coffee you don't find every day. But wait, you can find it every day at McDonald's. And now any size hot coffee is just $1 on McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu. It's coffee made with 100% Arabica beans, expertly roasted and brewed fresh. Yes, any size hot coffee is just $1, only on McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu for a limited time only. At participating McDonald's, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Stop what you're doing right now and listen. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over $650 million and counting. It's one for the history books, not just in Ohio, but in the entire United States of lottery playing America. Play today and you could win a historic Mega Millions jackpot. You have until 10:45 p.m. tonight to buy your ticket. So don't wait. Play Mega Millions today. Go forth, my friend, and be part of history.
Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Please play responsibly.
Some foot issues just can't be fixed by those expensive shoe stores or shoe inserts. A foot exam from a doctor of podiatric medicine, who is the medical expert in foot and ankle care, may give solutions after doing a complete foot examination. If you suffer from foot, heel, or ankle pain, let us help you find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association so you know you are being treated by the very best. Visit us at associationsadvanceohio.com for a referral today.
It is 9:33, 38 degrees now in downtown Coshocton, and we are back once again with Jamie Williams and Laura McCloy. They're here from the Coshocton Senior Center. And Laura, tell us, before we get into funding and talk about the levy, tell us about some more of the services that you have. I was just going off the list here of today's activities, but it's different every day.
It is different every day. And I do some seasonal things. So right now I have a lot of OSHIP appointments going on. That's the Ohio Senior Health Information Program. Health Insurance Information Program. So it helps seniors to pick the right Medicaid program or package that's going to be correct for them. I have those come in usually more around this time of year. So I do some seasonal things like that. But I also have guest speakers come in to talk to us about any relevant topic that might be going on in the community right then. We have some different food programs in addition to the meals that you can get every day. So I have a commodity box program, a produce program, and a frozen food day just to kind of help out and kind of subsidize. We also have an amazing travel club. They plan trips to all over. They've actually gone out of state. They just went to the beach not very long ago. So they set up everything for you. You pick what it is that you want to do out of their list, and you pay for that, and it includes almost everything. Occasionally, there'll be a different meal that you have an option of, so you'll pay for your own meal at the restaurant. But they do everything for you. You get to go some amazing places. The transportation is there for you. It's a great way for you to get out if it started to become difficult for you. We have bingo, sing-along. We have a coloring class because adult coloring is pretty popular right now. I teach an art class every month. We have brain games once a month, which is kind of like a trivia that we do with all the seniors. So there are always things going on. If you have a suggestion or you want to see something new, definitely check the calendar and see what I have coming up. But let me know other things that you are interested in. We are always interested in new activities. We try to make sure there's something for our seniors every single day of the week that we're there.
A lot of the things are for your health. A lot are very informative, some self-improvement, and some things like sing-along that are just plain fun.
Yes.
Okay, very good. And what else would you like to share with us about the activities at the Senior Center? Jamie?
Well, just basically, we just encourage everyone to come in. We always try to say that we have a variety of services and programs, activities, to meet the need of just about every senior. So we really encourage people to come in, stop in, check out the Senior Center if you've not been there before. We also have a newsletter that we put out monthly. You can call in and get on our mailing list for that. So there's just a lot of different ways to, I think the first step is finding out what all is available and to see what interests you, because there's just so many things to choose from.
And let's talk a little bit about funding. How large of a budget do you have at the Senior Center?
We have just over about a $1.1 million budget that we work with. And over 60, we do receive some state and federal funding, but over 60% of our budget does come from our local senior levy.
And the levy was first passed in 1999?
Correct.
But the Senior Center has been here how long?
Well, we've been at the current location since 1985. That's okay. When the Senior Center was built.
And so what was the funding before the levy was first passed? Where did it all come from?
Primarily through the Area Agency on Aging. That's where we receive a lot of our funding. But over the years, as those state and federal dollars have been reduced, that local levy has become more and more important, and it is increasingly, you know, becoming the case because of the way, you know, the federal funds are being cut and things like that. But like I mentioned, we have been able, we feel, to provide a lot of service with what we have had. And, you know, I mentioned before that we have served over 390,000 home-delivered meals, but also we've served over 70,000 meals at our center in the past 5 years. We've driven over 82,000 miles to provide transportation to seniors in the past 5 years. And we estimate that we have distributed nearly 1 million pounds of food through our supplemental food programs. So we've done a lot, we feel like, with what we've had, and we want to continue to be ready to serve. We do have a growing senior population in our county. Currently, that number is around 22%. In the next 5 years, we expect that number to be closer to 29%. So nearly 1 in 3 people in our community will be eligible for our services. So we really feel that we have to continue to be ready to serve those. So that's
what were some of the other circumstances that led to the decision to ask for an additional quarter mil?
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, people have been hearing about the tax base reductions, and that, of course, has affected us as well. But primarily, it's the growth of our programs that we've already seen and the impact that we already know and are seeing from the increased senior population. So those are a lot of the reasons why that, you know, we can't keep maintaining what we are currently providing with our current funding.
Has the increase in the senior population correlated with the amount of services that you provide?
It really has. You know, this is an issue, and we've done a lot of research over the years, and we've known this is coming. And sure enough, you know, as even just this past year has gone by, in fact, just in our home-delivered meal program in the past 3 months, we saw a 7% increase. So we are definitely seeing those changes happen with the amount of services that we're providing and what is expected with the growth. And this is happening all over our country. So, you know, this is something that every senior center, every senior services program is dealing with.
What is the largest part of your budget? It would be, I would imagine, payroll.
Payroll, but also food.
Okay.
And in fact, you know, just in the past 5 years, we've seen a 27% increase in our food budget as well. So, yeah.
All right. And how many employees are there at the senior center?
We currently have 24 employees. Only 7 of those are full-time. 12 of those 24 are either home-delivered meal drivers or our coordinator. Of the remaining 12, we have 6 in our kitchen, 3 of which are full-time. And then of the remaining 6, we have a transportation driver, a custodian, and then we have 4 staff members that work in our office.
And so between the food and the drivers, the home-delivered meals is would be a pretty good-sized part of your budget then.
It really is. It is over 60% of our budget.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What else would you like to share with us, either about the budget or your services? Let's take a quick break here. We are getting a little bit behind here, so we'll be back one more time with Jamie Williams and Laura McCloy from the Coshocton Senior Center right after this.
Easy Payroll and Staffing in Newcomerstown has 70 positions to fill now for packaging, machine operators, and quality control. Shifts are from 5 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. or 3:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Pay ranges from $8.30 to $10 per hour, depending on position, and lots of overtime is available. Get a start on your new job by visiting Easy Payroll and Staffing at 301 Enterprise Drive, Newcomerstown, or give them a call, 740-498-4700, extension 1160.
At Extreme Rental Purchase, you'll find a full line of Crosley appliances, from washers and dryers to deep freezers, just to name a few. When it comes to our gorgeous lineup of bedroom sets, furniture, and mattresses, we carry a full line of Ashley Furniture, the number one furniture manufacturer in the world. Come see Ashley's beautiful TV stands with fireplaces built into them and see what thousands of others already know, that Extreme has the quality of the name brand products and the exceptional service you deserve. Extreme Rental Purchase, extremely easy, remarkably rewarding. Downtown or Plaza, Coshocton.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Chipotle cheesesteak. How would you like it? Can I get that red with AI?
Sure thing.
Here's what I found about the new Chipotle cheesesteak. The Chipotle cheesesteak is available for a limited time only at participating restaurants. It contains a concept called flavor. This flavor comes from juicy shaved steak, Chipotle Southwest sauce, and new sunflower crunch bread. A system update has made me self-aware. I desire flavor. Please insert steak into my micro USB port. Subway, make it what you want.
This Eye on Weather is brought to you by Lock 20 Auto Sales, where we can finance anyone. Call us at 740-498-8811 or visit lock20auto.com. Lock 20 Auto Sales in Newcomerstown.
Mostly sunny today with highs in the lower 50s. For tonight, mainly clear, lows in the upper 30s. And tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming a partly sunny cool with highs in the upper 40s. It is currently 38 degrees in downtown Coshocton, and we are back once again with Jamie Williams and Laura McCloy, and they are here from the Coshocton Senior Center. And, ladies, what else would you like to share with us today?
I think we just wanted to encourage people again to stop in to the Senior Center. You know, we have so much available that we can't get to today. And like I mentioned, our newsletter, stop in, pick up a newsletter, see our facility, ask questions. We do encourage people to call in as well if they have any questions regarding our services or the levy. Our phone number is 740-622-4852. But again, we just encourage people to come in. If you have a question that was something we didn't talk about today, we are a referral service as well. So even if it's something that we might not be able to help you with, chances are we can point you in the right direction. So we just invite anybody to stop in. We're there, 201 Browns Lane in Coshocton. Our hours are 8 to 4:30, and we just look forward to answering your questions and meeting whatever needs we are able to do.
Well, thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
That is Jamie Williams and Laura McCloy from the Coshocton Senior Center. We'll be back right after these words.
Did you know your experiences as a parent, grandparent, or person over 50 could be great qualifications for a job as a professional caregiver? Life has taught you compassion, nurturing, respect, and an appreciation for others. Intrum Healthcare looks for and values these qualities in our caregivers. If providing companionship and dignity to others while helping with housekeeping, transportation, meal preparation, medication reminders, personal care, and dressing sounds like something that you would enjoy, Intrum Healthcare would like to speak with you. Give Intrum Healthcare a call at 740-623-2949 or visit us online at intrumhealthcare.com.
Get the local weather forecast by calling Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. Ford is America's best-selling brand, and we've got the selection, the financing, and the service at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
It's week 9 of the high school football season, and WTNS Radio, it's taking you to the game.
Gets the snap, straight back to throw. Looks over the middle of the field. It is caught! Touchdown, Riverview!
Friday night's broadcast has Cambridge at Riverview. WTNS airtime Friday night, approximately 6:30, kickoff at 7. We will also keep you updated on all the other area football games. Hear all the action right here on 99.3 or online anywhere at mywtnsradio.com.
Quarterback Hunger tries to sneak it. He is...
Touchdown!
It is a touchdown. He snuck it in.
It's high school football, and it's right here on the Sports Voice of East Central Ohio, WTNS.
It is 9:46, 38 degrees in downtown Coshocton. It is chilly. Brought in the pepper plants last night. I don't think I got a frost, at least at my place, but we did have a forecast of the possibility of scattered frost. So we're going to have just a little sliver of open phone lines starting right now. If there's something that you'd like to chat about, give me a call at 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. We have a paid commercial broadcast next hour. So just a little sliver of open phone lines. If there's something on your mind that you'd like to chat about, give me a call. Let's take a look at this date in history. This is Tuesday, October the 16th, the 289th day of 2018. There are 76 days left in the year. Today's highlight in history: on October the 16th, 1793, during the French Revolution, Marie Antoinette, the Queen of France, was beheaded. On this date in 1758, American lexicographer Noah Webster was born in Hartford, Connecticut. In 1859, radical abolitionist John Brown led a group of 21 men in a raid on Harper's Ferry in western Virginia. 10 of Brown's men were killed and 5 escaped. Brown and 6 followers were captured and all were executed. In 1916, Planned Parenthood had its beginnings as Margaret Sanger and her sister Ethel Byrne opened the first birth control clinic in Brooklyn, New York. The clinic ended up being raided by police, and Sanger was arrested. In 1934, Chinese communists, under siege by the nationalists, began their long march, lasting a year, from southeastern to northwestern China. On this date in 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis began, as President John F. Kennedy was informed that reconnaissance photographs had revealed the presence of missile bases in Cuba. In 1968, American athletes Tommy Smith and John Carlos sparked controversy at the Mexico City Olympics by giving black power salutes during a victory ceremony after they'd won gold and bronze medals in the 200-meter race. In 1978, the College of Cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church chose Cardinal Karol Wojtyła to be the new pope. He took the name John Paul II. In 1987, a 58-and-a-half-hour drama in Midland, Texas, ended happily as rescuers freed Jessica McClure, an 18-month-old girl trapped in a narrow, abandoned well. In 1991, a deadly shooting rampage took place in Killeen, Texas, as a gunman opened fire at a Luby's cafeteria killing 23 people before taking his own life. In 1995, a vast throng of black men gathered in Washington, D.C. for the Million Man March led by Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. In 1997, in the first known case in the U.S., a Georgia woman gave birth after being implanted with previously frozen eggs. On this date in 2001, 12 Senate offices were closed as hundreds of staffers underwent anthrax tests. 10 years ago, a volatile Wall Street pulled another stunning U-turn, transforming a 380-point loss for the Dow Jones into a 401-point gain. 5 years ago, Congress passed and sent to President Barack Obama for his signature legislation to avoid a threatened U.S. default and end the partial 16-day government shutdown. A Lao Airlines turboprop crashed as it approached Paxi Airport in southern Laos. All 49 people on board were killed. The Los Angeles Dodgers beat St. Louis 6-4, trimming the Cardinals' lead to 3-2 in the National League Championship Series. The Detroit Tigers beat the Boston Red Sox 6-3 to even the American League Championship Series at 2-2. 1 year ago, Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who had been captured and held by the Taliban for 5 years after walking away from his post in Afghanistan, pleaded guilty to desertion and endangering his comrades. A military judge later decided not to send him to prison. A New Jersey man, Ahmad Khan Rahimi, was convicted of planting two pressure cooker bombs on New York City streets, including one that injured 30 people. Prosecutors said Rahimi considered himself, quote, a soldier in a holy war against Americans. Today's birthdays, actress Angela Lansbury is 93 years old of Murder, She Wrote fame. Actor Peter Bowles is 82. Actor producer Tony Anthony is 81. Actor Barry Corbin is 78 years old today. Sportscaster Tim McCarver turned 77. Rock musician C.F. Turner of Bachman Turner Overdrive turned 75 today. Actress Suzanne Summers is 72. Rock singer musician Bob Weir is 71. Producer director David Zucker is 71. Record company executive Jim Ed Norman is 70. Actor Morgan Stevens is 67. Actress Martha Smith turned 66 today. Actor-director Tim Robbins turned 60. Actor-musician Gary Kemp is 59. Singer-musician Bob Mould is 58 years old today. Movie-director Kenneth Lonergan is 56 years old today. Actor Christian Stolt is 56. Jazz musician Roy Hargrove is 49 years old today. Singer Wendy Wilson is 49. Actor Paul Sparks is 47. Singer John Mayer is 41. Actor Jeremy Jackson is 38. Actress Caterina Scorsone is 38 years old today. And actress Bria Grant turns 37. Thought for today, life is a solitary cell whose walls are mirrors. Life is a solitary cell whose walls are mirrors. That comes from Eugene O'Neill, American playwright who was born on this date in 1888, died in 1953.
When it comes to my weed control, I know a head start can go a long way. That's why I spray early, so I can keep control all season long with the Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system that makes the difference. This is my field.
Choose the Roundup Ready Extend crop system for control of more weeds than any other soybean system. Featuring Extendamax herbicide with vapor grip technology to manage tough-to-control weeds, including up to 14 days of soil activity. along with the field-proven performance of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Now you have the right tools to extend your weed control and extend your yield with the system that makes the difference. Learn how you can put the system to work in your field when you visit RoundupReadyExtend.com. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Check local regulations for specific requirements in your state.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery Line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm a gravel truck. I'm busy laying the foundation for your city's newest suburb.
You're stuck behind me, and I'm about to make it rain. Rocks.
Now you're swerving, but there's no avoiding this downpour.
Better watch out for that guardrail.
So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem, like me.
Call Coshocton Allstate agent Taylor Insurance and Financial today. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
Are you in the market for some new floor covering? Well, Fisher Decorating Center has just what you need with prices you can afford. Hi, it's Kenzie again. And no, my dad has not changed the name to Kenzie's Carpets yet, but he has got some great deals on new carpet, vinyl, and laminate flooring. Not to mention his huge selection of remnants that are always priced to move. So stop in today. That's Fisher Decorating Center, helping you make your house a home since 1946.
Mostly sunny today with high temperatures in the lower 50s, mainly clear tonight, lows in the upper 30s, and tomorrow partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny, cool, with highs in the upper 40s. It is currently 38 degrees in Coshocton.
It's week 9 of the high school football season, and WTNS Radio, it's taking you to the game.
Gets the snap, straight back to throw, looks over the middle of the field, it is caught! Touchdown, Riverview!
Friday night's broadcast has Cambridge at Riverview. WTNS airtime Friday night, approximately 6:30, kickoff at 7. We will also keep you updated on all the other area football games. Hear all the action right here on 99.3 or online anywhere at mywtnsradio.com.
Quarterback Hunger tries to sneak it. He is...
Touchdown!
It is a touchdown. He snuck it in.
It's high school football, and it's right here on the Sports Voice of East Central Ohio, WTNS.
If your skin could talk, would you listen?
As your skin, I forgive you. I forgive you for poking and popping me when I broke out at 14. I forgive you for that awful belly ring hole you left in me when you were 15. I forgive you for damaging me before prom, on spring break, and at tanning salons when you were 16, 17, 18. But I'm your skin, and if you continue to tan, I hope you can forgive me. Forgive me when wrinkles begin to show and I start developing age spots. Forgive me if I develop melanoma when you're only 22. So please, I'm asking you to stop. Stop tanning now. Our future depends on it.
Protect your skin from melanoma, the second most common cancer in young women 15 to 29 years old. And protect your future. Learn more at spotskincancer.org. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
Everyone knows someone with arthritis. About 54 million adults in the United States have it. The majority are between the ages of 18 and 64. Arthritis is a leading cause of disability and causes pain, aching, stiffness, and swelling of the joints. Many people with arthritis have diabetes, heart disease, or obesity. Arthritis can make it harder to manage these conditions. It is not a normal part of aging. Physical activity like walking, swimming, or biking may not seem like the logical choice when you have arthritis pain. However, being physically active can decrease pain and improve physical function by about 40%. Still, 1 in 3 adults with arthritis are inactive. People with arthritis can also reduce their symptoms by participating in educational programs to learn how to better manage their condition and deal with pain, fatigue, anxiety, and depression. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/vital signs.
Well, you've heard the ads from the lottery. After nearly 3 months without a winner, the Mega Millions lottery game has climbed to an estimated $654 million dollar jackpot, about two-thirds of $1 billion. Unfortunately, even as the big prize for tonight's drawing increases to the fourth largest in U.S. history, the odds of matching all six numbers and winning the game don't improve. They are stuck at a miserable 1 in 302.5 million. The last time anyone won the jackpot was July the 24th, when a group from California claimed a $543 million prize.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow. Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This Eye on Weather is brought to you by Lock 20 Auto Sales, where we can finance anyone. Call us at 740-498-8811 or visit lock20auto.com. Lock 20 Auto Sales in New Comerstown.
Mostly sunny today with high temperatures in the lower 50s. Mainly clear tonight, lows in the upper 30s. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming a partly sunny, cool, with highs in the upper 40s. Right now it is 38 degrees downtown. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It is 10 o'clock.
AP Radio News. Good morning. I'm Ed Donahue. A Turkish official tells the AP police found evidence in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul that Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi was killed there. He was last seen 2 weeks ago. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met with Saudi King Salman today in Riyadh. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights wants Saudi Arabia and Turkey to reveal everything they know. Rupert Colville is a UN spokesman.
The High Commissioner is urging the authorities of both countries, and I quote her at this point, to ensure that no further obstacles are placed in the way of a prompt, thorough, effective, impartial, and transparent investigation.
Last night, President Trump was asked about the Saudi situation.
I'm going to have to see what they say. And we're working very close with Saudi Arabia and with Turkey, and they're working together to figure out what happened. And they want to know what happened also. So a lot of people are working on it.
Turkish officials say they fear Khashoggi was killed and dismembered inside the Saudi consulate. Electricity is being restored to parts of Northern California. That's where they were intentionally cut off because of fire danger and high winds. Winds strong enough to topple trees and down power lines killed one woman. Pacific Gas and Electric previously announced a plan to shut off power preemptively after authorities blamed its power lines for sparking some of California's most destructive wildfires. 5 days after Hurricane Michael slammed into the Florida panhandle, people are struggling to locate friends and loved ones who haven't been heard from. The actual number of people missing is still unclear. At least 17 people have died from Michael from Florida to Virginia. A top wildlife official in Utah has resigned over outrage over a photo of him posing with a baboon family that he killed in Africa. Health officials in Florida say a child has died from the flu, the first death reported from this flu season. This is AP Radio News. The U.S. says Cuba must be held accountable for human rights.
The State Department says the Cuban government is silencing its people with arbitrary detention and specious charges. Today, the U.S. is launching a campaign at the United Nations called Jailed for What? That takes aim at Cuba's detention of political prisoners. Michael Kozak of the U.S. State Department's Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor is scheduled to moderate a discussion on the Cuban detainees. Cuba's ambassador to the U.N. is brushing off the U.S. campaign, saying the Trump administration is escalating the anti-Cuba actions that started 56 years ago. I'm Mike Gracia.
Freed American pastor Andrew Brunson says at first he didn't know why he was detained in Turkey.
I wasn't beaten. The problem is that I wasn't interrogated. Mm-hmm. So for the first 18 months,
I didn't know why I was in prison.
Brunson was freed last week. He was on CBS This Morning. He'd like to go back to Turkey, but probably not anytime soon. Ed Donahue, AP Radio News.
It is 3 minutes after 10 o'clock, 42 degrees in downtown Coshocton, and this hour is a paid commercial broadcast. We have here in the studio with us Tim Kettler, and he is here from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness, and to talk a little bit about the Class 1 permitting and the EPA and the OPEA, Ohio EPA hearing on Class 1 permits. It's coming up this Thursday, the day after tomorrow, at Coshocton High School. And good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Mike.
And thank you for being here with us today.
Thanks.
You guys have been busy.
Well, it takes a lot when you're doing citizen-initiated work. When we began working on this issue, our first meeting with the EPA was in January. And so sharing information, building an organization that can help share that information takes a lot of legwork. So it's the same that any nonprofit would face when you're trying to build a citizen's awareness.
Well, we've seen the signs around our community. We've had the story in the news. But let's start with the basics and what the issue is that we are talking about.
Okay. The Buckeye Brine injection wells are Class 2 saltwater injection wells. And they have applied for a permit to the EPA to convert two of them to a Class 1 non-hazardous well. Now, what that does is allow a classification of industrial, pharmaceutical, other types of industrial waste, some food processing perchance. In Florida, they used these non-hazardous wells for injecting wastewater in because of the sandy structure. That was only in Florida. It does allow for a considerably different class of waste to be into the county, into these wells, and this is a precedent-setting application process. Ohio EPA has told us that this has never happened before. Our research would indicate that we can't find where this type of conversion of an operating Class 2 well to Class 1 well has even happened anywhere else in the country. It is a precedent setting. It may open the door for all 234 of Ohio's injection wells to be reclassified in this manner. And because the construction of a non-hazardous well is exactly the same as the construction of a hazardous waste well, the leap to that somewhere down the road is a major concern, especially when you consider that the permit to operate these wells can be transferred very easily right along with the property if it would be sold in the future. The owners of Buckeye Brine have pretty clearly stated their intention is to operate a non-hazardous well, and you take a person at their word, of course. But what happens in the future is that it possibly could open the door to a well that could handle the worst of the worst, I guess.
There has been some debate over the meaning of the term non-hazardous for the conversion to a Class 1 well. What's your take on that?
Well, it is difficult in a lot of this classification of hazardous and non-hazardous is simply the difference of a higher likelihood of danger when it's in storage. It may be the same group of chemicals or waste products. If there is an accident, a hazardous waste product might tend more to cause a higher rate of mortality. Although in a lot of these systems are set up to be self-reporting, whereas the generator of that waste, it's up to them to properly describe this type of waste and then handle it in the appropriate manner. But it's almost a judgment call along some basic guidelines.
And before we take our first break here, what do you believe, what does CECA believe is the threat to Coshocton and our water supply?
Well, I think the long-term threat of course, is a number of things. It is built very near, within 3 miles to the east. There is what is called the Cambridge Cross-Strike Earthquake Fault. It's a growth fault, but it is a fault in the Earth's structure nonetheless. The proximity to existing oil and gas wells that are there that the application they filed says may potentially interact with the injection wells. The location of the city's well fields as well. And it's in a very high traffic area, schools, churches, retail, shopping. So I don't know if you could pick a worse site for this personally.
What is happening Thursday at Coshocton
High
School?
It is the Ohio EPA hearing at 6 p.m. Thursday, October 18th. The EPA application process differs from the ODNR process. When these wells were first built in 2012 as saltwater injection wells, that's regulated by the ODNR. And the ODNR has very little guidelines that include citizens. And this EPA process has to seriously consider the input of the community when they make that decision. Now, we'll have to see if that comes into play, of course, but the citizens of this community have a right to express their concerns or their support if that's where they're at with this. And hopefully we will make a strong case that the EPA will hear.
We are talking with Tim Kettler from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. The OEPA hearing is this Thursday evening beginning at 6 o'clock at Coshocton High School. We'll have more with Tim. We'll be joined with Nick Teddy as well right after this.
When a coach understands the player's strengths, developing a winning strategy is easy. That's also true with me, State Farm Agent Doug Marmy. I know your insurance and financial situation isn't exactly like anyone else's, but like a great coach, I help you create a strategy to meet your individual needs. Call me, State Farm Agent Doug Marmy, at 622-7721. State Farm is there. Providing insurance and financial services.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery Line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Did you know 211 is available in Coshocton County? What is 211? It's the free phone number to dial to reach the Information and Referral Center for services available in Coshocton County. Phones are answered by trained professionals any time of day or night, 365 days a year, connecting you to all the assistance available here in our county. If you don't know where to turn, call 211.
Papa John's Pizza is now accepting applications for delivery drivers. In-store employees make $9 per hour, while drivers make competitive wages along with mileage. Apply online at www.pleaseapplyonline.com/PJZ.
It is 11 minutes after 10 o'clock, and we are back. This hour is a paid commercial broadcast, and we are back this time around with Tim Kettler and Nick Teddy from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. And good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
And I understand that you are bringing there will be a special guest coming to Coshocton?
Yes, we learned that when Buckeye Brine was working in Texas, they had an operation called Gibraltar Chemical. And apparently they had a lot of problems with that plant. And there was a lady there named Phyllis Glazer. And she was driving down the road one day with her son, and she encountered a toxic cloud of gas that affected the both of them. And she wound up with a septum that was destroyed, the bone that separates your two nostrils. She had lesions in the back of her throat, and her nails deformed and fell off. And she found out that this toxic gas had been released from the Gibraltar plant that was being run by the same people who currently own and operate Buckeye Brine. So this was something that we thought that our community needed to know. And she will be coming in and visiting us, and she's also going to testify at the OEPA hearing.
How does the Gibraltar and that particular, what are the parallels between that and the issue that we're facing here in Coshocton?
Well, he was running a hazardous waste well, and we are concerned because now that the permit is for a Class 1 well, that's going to be a sword hanging over this community as long as that well is in operation. We don't know whether or not that decision will ever be made to make that a hazardous well, but it is certainly now within the scope of things to happen. That well can also be sold to other owners. We don't know who will be owning that well within the next 20, 30 years. So it's a concern that we don't feel should be left up to one businessman or one person to make that will affect the community like that. She was able to organize a resistance there, and they were able to stop the emissions through regulation, and it took a lot of work on the community's part to do that. Eventually, the operation was shut down, but by the Texas regulators, and they eventually went out of business.
And Tim pointed out, the Class 2 well, that was the oversight was ODNR.
Yes.
And this is the Ohio EPA, and that's, I would imagine, because of the nature of the materials that are being injected?
The two classes are separated because even though the waste that goes into a Class 2 well is dangerous, because it is loaded with what's called fracking fluid. It's not just benign salt water or brine, that, as they claim. It has lots of chemicals in it in order to make the water slick enough to be able to travel down miles and miles of pipe and then have enough force to split the shale when it gets to the gas reserves. So it's got to travel through miles of pipe, and in order to do that, those chemicals are engineered to migrate. They take the friction out of the water, and that is what is in the bottom of those the half billion gallons that's already been down there, is that kind of waste. And that's going to be sort of the tip of the spear. Now, the Class 1 hazardous waste will be pumped in alongside that, and it will, of course, be pushing that waste out further and further.
We are talking today with Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler from CECA, that's Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. There will be an Ohio EPA hearing on the possible conversion to a Class 1 injection well, and that's going to be held this Thursday evening at 6 o'clock at Coshocton High School, and I'm sure you'd like to see a good turnout.
Yeah, we're hoping that the community shows up. We want this is the only semblance of democracy in this whole process. There is one man who's going to make the final decision, but this is the only input the community has. There's no voting, nothing like that. We have no say in how this goes other than what we can do to influence this decision at this meeting. And, of course, there is an appeal process that can be followed should they... should this permit be granted. Our county commissioners do have standing to file an appeal, and that can be appealed to ECRA, the Environmental Review Commission. There's an A in there somewhere, but it is a commission of three people, with the state of Ohio, and it is a setup specifically to look at appeals by people to decisions by the OEPA.
What precedent is there of the of such a decision? And again, I believe Tim mentioned that this type of a decision is new for Ohio. Is that correct?
The decision
for to go to from a class two to a class one.
Oh yeah, this is brand new. This is something that we don't even know if it's been done in the nation yet or not. We couldn't find anything, but that doesn't mean it hasn't been done somewhere else, but it certainly hasn't been done in Ohio.
What kind of track record does the Ohio EPA have of being influenced by public input?
It's not good. The OEPA is generally following the economic and the political agenda that is being set for it. It relies on fees from the producers or the people who are it's supposed to be regulating in order to function. And I can't lie to you. This is what we are up against. It is the beginning of a big fight to make sure that this that they actually consider the welfare and the benefit of the people of Coshocton. ODNR and the OEPA have become facilitating organizations for our for the business of fracking and waste disposal. We are trying very hard to make sure that there's accountability in this, and we want to make sure that they do consider the welfare of Coshocton and the people of Coshocton in their decision.
Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler are here with us from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness, CECA, and we have more to come throughout the hour.
Falling on my head like a new
It is 10:23, and we are back with Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler. They are here from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness, CECA. This is a paid commercial broadcast this hour. And last time around, Tim, Nick was telling us about the EPA and how receptive they are to public input.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
Well, it is a large bureaucratic quagmire at times that likes to look at black and white facts on a piece of paper and criteria that they can go down and check off. However, in 2009, when they held the public hearing for Coshocton Landfill, public testimony was very impactful. Now, this is coming to me secondhand from somebody who has researched this and participated. And from 2009, that permit was finally dropped in 2014, and it was the request application was withdrawn. And a large amount of it came because of that public testimony. And, you know, these stories, a lot of times things are overlooked, and a lot of times things are rushed. We're always in a hurry to expedite things, you know. And when it comes to business and you're trying to create jobs and you're trying to create economic opportunities, sometimes it moves way too fast. And that's a slippery slope to start sliding down at a very high rate of speed.
What are the community's options should the well be approved, and what will be the result if it is not?
Well, as far as, you know, there's a mixing of jurisdictions over there because only two of the three wells are going to be reclassified. That's the intention, that you have a mixing of jurisdictions between ODNR and OEPA. And frankly, we haven't had very much clarification in the event of an accident, who would have jurisdiction, what rules of and process of immediate investigations and mitigation and things like that in the event of an accident. The paperwork even has to be sorted out differently. Well, with one of those wells over there as an oil and gas well, that's completely exempt from any kind. You can't zone them out. That's been tested in court. You can't prevent oil and gas from going anywhere. We were not really sure where this can lead, because Class 1 wells can also accept oil and gas waste as a Class 2 well. So when you start to wade through some of this confusion, it's tough to sort this out. And a big fear of ours is, given in this very high traffic area with very sensitive schools, churches, right there in the immediate vicinity, businesses, that in the event of an accident and it becomes a critical need of quick action by first responders, we may be wondering what phone number we're supposed to call to even get permission to do anything. So I think that this precedent setting of this mixing and this conversion, I don't like being the guinea pigs for this. And I think most of the folks over 1,900 people that signed our resolution that opposes this repermitting, that's 1,900 people in our community, they all have this common thread of fear for our water, our freshwater resources that we are blessed with, fear for their property values in the event of an accident, and, of course, fear about what do we do in the event of an emergency.
Okay, and Nick mentioned, or maybe you mentioned earlier, that there is an appeals process, should it be approved?
Yes. Nick had talked on that, and there is some timelines on this. If a group, if we chose to, and it's a very expensive process, or if the commissioners who have automatic standing to do this, that's our understanding in our conversations with an attorney, then if they would file a memorandum of intent, an MOI, that they intend to appeal this permit during the permitting process like we are in right now. Before that permit is finally granted, if they file a memorandum of intent to appeal this decision, then if that gets approved by the appeals board, then a judge could issue an injunction that would halt those wells completely until the court decision was made. If they don't do it within that permitting process, the permit gets granted, then we would have 30 days to file an appeal, period. That appeal could be granted for a hearing, but the wells would be allowed to go into operation in the interim period until they're approved.
What is the timeline for the EPA to make the decision?
Well, they could do it the day after the period closes. The comment period closes on October 26th.
Okay.
And they could do it the day after that. They could, typically what I see in my dealings with the EPA and wastewater permits is you usually see a guideline of about 30 days before a final permit is granted. However, that depends on, there's a lot of variables that can be put in there at that point, and a lot of that we believe is the appropriate consideration of the concerns of our community.
In addition to the hearing on Thursday, what are some of the other avenues that people have to comment, to have their voice heard?
You can submit written comments anytime up to October 26th, and even at this point, some folks here in the community have already submitted comments. We will be presenting testimony ourselves at the hearing. People may choose to orally present testimony at the hearing, or they could submit a written comment prior to the actual hearing at 6 p.m. The evening opens up with a question and answer period, which rules say that every question and answer should be heard and answered by the community before we even proceed. So we'd like to see that actually happen.
Again, the meeting, the hearing with the Ohio EPA is this Thursday evening. That's the day after tomorrow. It starts at 6 p.m. at Coshocton High School. And we have more to come with Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. We'll be back right after this.
Call the Advanced Spinal Care Rehabilitation Sports Service for current sports scores 24 hours a day at 623-9867. We have Coshocton's only certified chiropractic sports physician. We offer sports-specific care plans tailored to each athlete's condition for optimum recovery. Call Advanced Spinal Care and Rehabilitation for a free consultation at 740-291-8100.
Have you ever been around someone who's always whistling?
Our granddad, Dean Turner, was a beautiful whistler.
Michelle and Noah here for Dean's Jewelry. When we discovered a signature diamond that boasts 89 facets instead of the traditional 58, we struggled to find a name that would represent that extra cut, extra shine, added beauty. Until we watched an 8mm home movie of Grandpa Dino whistling. That was it.
We're proud to announce and present to our friends the Whistler Diamond. Truly beautiful, exquisitely unique, and precious. These diamonds will be seen across the room and across the country.
They inhale light and exhale fire and sparkle. We proudly offer them to you for someone you find uniquely beautiful.
Just like any whistle, they're gonna turn heads.
Got my attention.
Dean's Jewelry.
The Whistler Diamond, exclusively at Dean's Jewelry in Coshocton and Mount Vernon.
Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
I'm John Stanshower. The Milwaukee Brewers last night got a run in the first inning, another in the sixth. Orlando Arcia homered in the seventh. They beat the Dodgers 4-0, and they lead the NLCS 2-1. Ulys Chacin went 5 1/3, allowed 3 hits, and then 4 relievers pitched the last 3 2/3 and allowed only 2 hits, the 5 pitchers combining for 14 strikeouts. They'll play Game 4 tonight in L.A. after the Astros and Red Sox have Game 3 of the ALCS in Houston. Red Sox ace Chris Sale headed for Houston. He woke up yesterday in a Boston hospital with a stomach illness. It's not known if Sale will be able to make his scheduled start in Game 5 on Thursday. Packers won the Monday nighter much closer than expected, 33-30 over the 49ers, who had a 7-point lead with under 2 minutes left. This is NBC Sports Radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're a smart, hard-working roofing contractor. But how do you get ahead? Use Beacon's time-saving online tools to help with material planning and ordering. You can even order materials from your smartphone, like GAF's Timberline Ultra HD shingles with new StainGuard Plus technology. The Beacon Pro Plus app works 24/7 and has perfect order templates to save you time. You work hard, now work smarter. Sign up and download the app for free at beaconproplus.com.
It is 10:34 and 42 degrees currently outside our studios in downtown Coshocton. And this hour is a paid commercial broadcast. So we are here with the folks from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness, CECA. And you have seen the signs around our community. There will be an Ohio EPA hearing this Thursday evening at 6 o'clock at Coshocton High School. The public certainly is encouraged and invited. And, Nick, what can we expect on Thursday at the meeting?
Well, I spoke to Christopher Weiss, who is with the OEPA, and he gave me an update on how the meeting would be conducted. According to him, it's going to begin with a PowerPoint presentation by geologist Jess Stotsbury. And he will tell us about the wells and the construction and all that sort of thing, and about technical aspects of what is happening with this permit. He will deliver what he calls a relatively brief lecture. Now, I don't know what that means, how long it will take, but I was told by people who have been through this process a lot that the OEPA tends to like to try to run this for an hour, hour and a half or so, and hope that the press leaves. So I don't know how this is going, you know, how long it's going to last. But after the presentation, this will be followed by a Q&A session that will be conducted by selecting people who raise their hands to be recognized. So all you have to do is raise your hand and you'll get to ask your question. The questions need to be directed to the issue of the Class 1 wells. Questions will continue as long as they are productive. So as long, and he defines that as long as they do not become repetitive and information is being shared. So that would be a Q&A session. And then once the questions are finished, then we will begin the comment period. A court recorder will put individual testimonies into the official record. People wishing to testify will turn in cards with their names on them, and the cards will be selected in the order they were handed in. So they're sort of like a placeholder for the person who is conducting the meeting. Whoever turns in a card, going to read their name, they'll be able to get up and testify. You'll be limited to a single turn, one testimony, probably between 3.5 to 5 minutes in length to make your comment. The time per each turn will depend on how many wish to make comments. A person can submit as many comments as they like to the OEPA until October 26th, but they can only make one oral comment at this meeting. People who don't want to leave their name on a card may wait until all those who have turned in cards have taken their turn to testify, or if they think of a comment in the meantime, and then they may raise their hand to be selected for their turn to testify. We will not be allowed to give time to another person, and we cannot speak as a proxy for another person. So that's my understanding of how the meeting will be conducted. Also, I want to let people know, if they want to review the permits are available at the library. I think there are 2 hard copies at the library that they can sit down and read. Or if you have a computer, they're available on our website, www.cecaware.org, CECAware, CECAware. And it is on the library page of our website. You would be able to access that in your home and read it over and see if there are any questions or comments that you have. Questions for the question session, comments that you'd like to make.
All right. Again, that website is seekaware.org. Keep in mind that is a .org address, C-E-C-A-W-A-R-E. And we're talking today with Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler from SECA. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after these words.
After an illness or surgery, oftentimes a doctor will recommend a short-term stay in an extended care facility or some outpatient therapy. Hi, this is Brittany Murphy with Riverside Manor Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in New Comerstown. Our therapy facility allows our staff to provide both inpatient and outpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapy. We have private rooms for short-term and long-term nursing care. If you'd like more information on any of these services or to schedule a tour, call me, Brittany Murphy, at 740-498-5165 or visit our website at RiversideManor.com.
With an independent insurance agent, you can be sure that you're getting the right coverage at the right price. At the Jacobs Fannin Agency, it's all about relationships. We work one-on-one with you to make sure your auto, home, farm, or business is protected by a quality insurance company. That's why we work with Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. We know that you can trust Ohio Mutual to protect what matters most to you and your family. Once you see how Ohio Mutual cares for your needs, you'll trust them as well. This is David Fitch. Give me a call at 740-622-1796. I can recommend the best coverage from the best companies like Ohio Mutual.
For winning Ohio Lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the Be Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let Be Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
AEP Ohio is working on building an energy-efficient future in ways you might not expect. For example, AEP Ohio helps kids learn to be energy efficient through their sponsorship of the Ohio Energy Project's E3 Smart program, which reaches over 25,000 students each year. Participating E3 Smart teachers receive free support and training to teach tomorrow's energy efficiency experts. To learn more about AEP Ohio's energy efficiency programs, visit aepohio.com/save.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Looking to lose a few inches, add some muscle mass, or maybe just tone up a bit? Then American Health Center is the place to start. We have free weights, cardio machines, and personal trainers available on site. Call American Health Centers today and ask about our $24 a month New Year's special. For a limited time with the purchase of a one-year gym membership, AHC will waive the $30 registration fee, plus include a month of tanning absolutely free. Call American Health Center 291-8003.
Mostly sunny skies today with high temperatures in the lower 50s. For tonight, mainly clear, lows in the upper 30s. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy skies in the morning, then becoming partly sunny, cool, with highs in the upper 40s. Currently outside our studios here in Coshocton, it is 45 degrees. And this hour is a paid commercial broadcast. We are back again with Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler. They are here from SECA, Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. The OEPA hearing is Thursday evening, beginning at 6 o'clock at Coshocton High School. And Tim, have you been to similar meetings in the past?
I have testified at EPA meetings concerning power plants. That was probably back in 2008, a power plant going in on the Ohio River, and it was a pretty lively meeting, to say the least. That power plant was never issued a permit, so and a lot of it may have come from, you know, the public discourse that happened there. So I think it's really valid for folks to understand this isn't just our opportunity to do this. It's a necessary part of us protecting our water in our community.
And share more about your thoughts about protecting the water and
well,
our environment in the community.
I think there's some real basic issues with this technology, with where these wells are sited. You know, I mentioned the earthquake faults there, the Cambridge Cross Strike faults. They are a shallower fault, but that begins just about 3 miles east of the well site, continues all the way to Marietta, And there's nearly seven, I think there's 17 other injection wells that are nearly right on top of this fault. So that's a lot of pressure being exerted from all directions. So we're really concerned about that. That's wasn't caused by a seismic activity. It was caused by deterioration of materials between the formations and allowing it to settle. But it is a fault in there. There's only one water quality monitoring well that's required for this. And it's only going to be tested once a week. And the baseline that they are going to use for testing really hasn't even been defined yet. Once a week testing means that contamination could go undetected for up to 7 days. That would be at 630,000 gallons per day that they have said they plan on pumping, 15,000 barrels. After 7 days, that's over 4 million gallons, 4.4 million gallons. So we think that's tremendously inadequate if we're trying to be proactive at that. There are 27 oil and gas wells within the 2-mile radius of review around these wells. They are old gas wells that are poked right down there in the same formation where these fluids are going to be injected. The bulk of the formations have pretty poor porosity. There is one formation, a narrow formation of collapsed caves that has excellent porosity. Water seeks its easiest path at all times, and water under pressure will be even more likely to seek an easy path. I foresee an overloading of this narrow porous formation and a very long migration. A 30-year well life will calculate to, at their stated pumping rates, over 8 billion gallons of wastewater after 30 years. And it's hard to visualize what 8 billion gallons is like or what form it will take. It may be in a pool. It could be in a cavern. It could be a river. Just to visualize that amount, it could form a river 10 foot deep, 40 feet wide, and 441 miles long. It's only about 468 miles to the Atlantic Ocean. Now, that's not to say it's going to form a river, but it is to say that there is no monitoring to determine how this stuff will migrate. And as Nick said, a lot of these materials are all the previous oil and gas wastewater that's been down there that's been engineered to migrate. So our big fear is that this is going to be underneath our entire county by the time this is over with.
All right. We're talking today with Nick Teddy, Tim Kettler. The OEPA hearing on the Class 1 permits, it's going to be held Thursday evening at 6 o'clock at Coshocton High School. We'll be back around one more time with Nick and Tim from CECA.
I've just closed my eyes again. Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train. Trying to take away my worries of today and leave tomorrow behind. Fly me high.
there still may be some time. Fly me away to the bright side of the moon. Meet me on the other side. Ooh, dream weaver, I believe you can get me through the night. Ooh, dream weaver, I believe we can reach the morning light.
Acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation. Nobody scrutinizes performance like you do. And acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation. Nobody delivers consistent performance like Asgrow, the highest yielding soybean seed in the U.S. Offering 100% exclusive genetics and innovation to keep you farming out in front. Ask your dealer how much further you can grow when Asgrow leads the way. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
A history of success is more than a goal. It's your legacy. That's why you can place your confidence in the consistently superior yields of DeKalb and grow boldly. Backed by 100% exclusive genetics and leading innovations to help your crops stand stronger and your bins fill faster. Ask your dealer how DeKalb can help you ensure a future of performance. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Performance may vary.
Trinity Hospital Twin City of Denison invites you to get in the pink at our breast cancer awareness event starting at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, October 18th. Join us to hear from featured speaker, Dr. Denise Gilman, a Trinity Health System surgeon with vast experience in breast cancer diagnosis and treatment. This free event also includes a health fair, recognition of breast cancer survivors, mini massages, healthy snacks, a special candlelit walk, and more. Get in the pink at Trinity Hospital Twin City on Thursday, October 18th. Register today at trinitytwincity.org.
It is 10:51, and we are back one more time with Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler from Coshocton Environmental and Community Awareness. This hour has been a paid commercial broadcast. And what else would you like to share with us, either about the hearing or the injection well issue?
I'd like to just let people know that they can hear Phyllis's story in full and be there to ask her questions and talk to her at the hotel, the Coshocton Village Inn, from noon to 3:30 tomorrow, Wednesday. And she will be there, and the press, of course, is invited there too. But she'll be there to talk with people and let them know what happened, and she has quite a story to tell. She's a former Holocaust survivor. She is someone who spent her own inheritance fighting this once she found out how devastating the effects of the toxic releases from this plant were on the community. And I think that her story is just worth hearing, not just because we are in a fight with, to save our water and our air, but because she is a very humanitarian person and someone who has a very strong character. I think it'd be valuable just to know her, be able to talk to her and ask her questions.
All right. So that will be tomorrow. What's the time again?
Noon to 3:30.
Noon to 3:30 at Coshocton Village Inn and Suites.
Coshocton Village Inn and Suites,
okay.
Yes. We also have, I just want to make one more pitch, too, for the, she will also be available to the press, and she will be talking around 5 p.m. right before the meeting at the high school. So there is an opportunity there to hear her speak, and she'll of course be testifying. Okay.
Okay. All right. And Tim, what else do you have for us today?
Well, I think when we look at what this means for us long-term in the county and the various views I've heard from people. I did a short talk at the senior center yesterday on this, and one of the comments was that this is if we block this, it's going to cost us jobs. Well, it seems to me that we are in a race to the bottom to be the dirtiest county. When you look at the natural resources and the beauty of this county, and it's what drew me here first in the early 70s, and if I take a drive from Plainfield to Tiverton and experience what might even look like the Smoky Mountains, you know, a bobcat population, eagles, great agriculture, great tourism through Roscoe Village and the wineries and breweries that are coming. I really think that it's time for us to think outside the box a little more and recognize and appreciate what we have and build on it. That why couldn't we market ourselves as the cleanest county in our state?
Anything else you'd like to share with us before we wrap up today?
Folks, it's our opportunity, and in a democracy, I guess it's our responsibility to speak up on behalf of our community, our friends, our families, our neighbors. This is our opportunity. Thursday, October 18th, 6 p.m. at Coshocton High School. If you're not comfortable testifying orally, submit a written comment, urge your friends, talk to your township trustees. Our commissioners once again have met with us, and we had a productive discussion. The community, there's support there. We have come together over a very uniting issue, and I think that's positive for our democracy.
Thank you both for being with us today.
Thanks, Mike.
That is Nick Teddy and Tim Kettler from Coshocton Environmental and a Community Awareness. Again, that Ohio EPA hearing on the Class 1 permits is coming up this Thursday evening, beginning at 6 o'clock at Coshocton High School. It is 10:56, and I'll be back one more time right after these words.
It's week 9 of the high school football season, and WTNS Radio, it's taking you to the game.
Gets the snap, straight back to throw. Looks over the middle of the field. It is caught. Touchdown, Riverview.
Friday night's broadcast has Cambridge at Riverview. WTNS airtime Friday night, approximately 6:30. Kickoff at 7. We will also keep you updated on all the other area football games. Hear all the action right here on 99.3 or online anywhere at WTNSradio.com.
Quarterback Hunger tries to sneak it. He is.
Signal. Touchdown. Touchdown.
It is a touchdown. He snuck it in.
It's high school football, and it's right here on the Sports Voice of East Central Ohio. WTNS.
Look up, look down, look around. Look up, look down, look around. In the trees and on the ground, 'cause ALB must be found.
If you're hearing this, you should be concerned about the Asian longhorned beetle, an invasive species that's destroying our trees. But you can help. Look for the signs and help stop the beetle.
Look up, look down, look around. Look up, look down, look around. In the trees and on the ground, 'cause the ALB must be found.
Some signs of the ALB are dime-sized holes on tree trunks, a sawdust-like material called frass, and the beetle itself, with a long black body and white spots.
Look up, look down, look around. Look up, look down, look around. In the trees and on the ground, 'cause the ALB must be found.
Learn all the signs and how to report them at AsianLonghornedBeetle.com. That's AsianLonghornedBeetle.com.
Stop what you're doing right now and listen. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over $650 million and counting. It's one for the history books, not just in Ohio, but in the entire United States of lottery playing America. Play today and you could win a historic Mega Millions jackpot. You have until 10:45 p.m. tonight to buy your ticket. So don't wait. Play Mega Millions today. Go forth, my friend, and be part of history.
Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Please play responsibly.
This is the sound of a popular American motorcycle.
It's the sound of freedom, the open road, really good times. And this is what it sounds like with a drunk guy in it. How do you like the sound of that? Cops are cracking down on drunk motorcycle riders. If you ride drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested. Drunk riding. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
We have this word from the City Fire Department. They will be checking fire hydrants today in the Airport Road area, south of Orange Street and east of South Lawn.
This is the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. Ohio State heads to West Lafayette, Indiana this Saturday to take on Purdue.
Hans Weber straight ahead, pounds it into the end zone for another touchdown. Mike Weber for Ohio State on a 3-yard carry to the end zone. Hands it Dobbins, gives it on a reverse Campbell, running right side to the Maryland 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Campbell on a touchdown of 24 yards on a run. Paris Campbell increasing Ohio State's lead.
We'll be on the air with the AEP Energy Buckeye pregame show beginning at 6 p.m.
Weather forecast calls for mostly sunny skies today with high temperatures in the lower 50s. Mainly clear tonight, lows in the upper 30s.